Good morning. We're back with another episode of the Sean Mo Hoops podcast. I'm pleased to have a special guest in Tommy Shepard, the general manager of the Washington Wizards. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Sean, I'm fantastic. Thank you very much for having me on.
No problem. Thank you. So, you know, in that introduction, I did get to say general manager, and I know it's been a little over a month now since you got the official title, but how does it feel, you know, now a month into the role as a general manager so far?
Oh, it's busy. I'll tell you that. It's fantastic. I'm really, really grateful. It's really not that much different from what I was doing, you know, really since April. We've been at it trying to get the Wizards to a point where we feel like, hey, we've made some changes that are structurally sound, and the architecture of the team moving forward is in a good place to add young players, to get our payroll in line, and to keep getting as many acquisitions as we can in terms of future picks and stuff. I think we're trying to do everything we can to kind of hit a little bit of a reset. The heavy lifting was done over the last year or two. We only have three players left from when we played Toronto in the playoffs 2 years ago. So that part of the roster, you know, speaks for itself. We've changed out a lot of people. Now we just have to be patient and grow it.
Definitely. And I know, you know, once April happened of kind of getting the interim tag, but really kind of being put in the manager position from the get-go. And I know in the past you'd had a few general manager interviews. So did those interviews and kind of the mindset you had of how you wanted to run a team, did that help you hit the ground running? Kind of take me back to that April timeframe and how you're able to get everything moving in such a quick and fast direction.
Well, I've had opportunities over the years to talk with other teams, and sometimes it was just not a great fit for myself, and a lot of times it just kind of comes down to whatever ownership wants to decide moving forward. The job I've always coveted was the one that I'm currently in. I always wanted to be in Washington, D.C. I think we have a fantastic owner, and the ownership group of Monumental Sports is unparalleled, not just in basketball, but in all sports. They really are fantastic people. Ted Leonsis is a visionary, and if you're going to be successful in the NBA, I think most teams, you tie it right directly to ownership and the people that run the team from the very top. And his commitment to the Wizards is unbelievable. And that's the kind of place I really wanted to work for. So I hit the ground running because, you know, 16 years worth of working in Washington, D.C. told me how much I love the city. Working with Mr. Leonsis for almost a decade now, I think that's been a fantastic opportunity for us. And where I see the future for the Wizards is just tremendous. And it kind of runs parallel with the expectations at Monumental Sports for all the teams. You know, right now the Mystics are absolutely running the WNBA, doing a great job. Mike Thibault, what he's up to is fantastic. The way that the Capitals are always poised to be in the Stanley Cup conversation is tremendous. And we think we're bringing up the Washington or the Capital City Go-Go in a meaningful way, our G League team and our district gaming team. We were hoping to have one of the best 2K teams in the league shortly. So the expectations when you work for Monumental Sports is to be championship level, and that's something we really strive for.
Well, it seems I feel like you and Ted Leonsis have a lot of things in common. I know he's known for, as you said, a visionary and his kind of innovation and forward thinking, and I know kind of that mirrors a little bit of your mantra of looking at VR and player recovery and scouting, and you've done a lot bringing in Dean Oliver, the coaching staff, Johnny Rogers and Jameson. What, you know, when you were kind of going through the interview process or talking to Leonsis, what did you kind of talk to him about how the Wizards will look, you know, in the next few months and next year or two?
Well, one thing I think we've shared a vision of I always refer to Stanley McChrystal's book, The Team of Teams, in that there was just the opportunity to assemble experts in different areas and let them do their job in real time and communicate in real time, but allow people, enable them to make decisions, empower them to make decisions in real time. And I think Ted really has that same vision. The days of having one person call everybody on staff into one room and tell them, this is how we're going to do our day, this is how we're going to do our week, this is how we're going to do the season, that's so outdated, I can't even begin to describe it. But in the NBA, in real time, trying to acquire talent and have the very best team possible requires a great deal of scouting, a great deal of foresight of how you onboard into your organization, and certainly how you maintain and retain talent. So we really addressed, in short order, we addressed the most important thing is health. So the ability to add the staff that we added to blend with the people that we already had on board, we think we're going to be able to prolong people's career. Daniel Medina was brought in as the head of performance, and he's fantastic. The ability to have the world-class facilities and all the amenities, all the extra things that it's going to take to have a great facility. We did that with Sashi Brown, and what mm-hmm. Sashi brings to the table as a former general manager in the NFL, tremendous resource for me to lean on and get some extra set of eyes on different things that we're working on. And then bringing in John Thompson with Sashia Jones in our area of team services and making that a 360 approach to really embrace players at the doorstep all the way through their career with us and their post-career after they're done playing. That's our goal, and we were able to do that and establish that all in very short order. The people that we added, we started a pro personnel area just like we have with college. And that's the biggest lifeblood of the organization is scouting and bringing in talent. And we're trying to really develop that situation where the pro personnel, you know, as we get ready for trade deadline, as we get ready for free agency, we're going to treat it just like the draft. And so the ability to really have eyes on games in every time zone in both pro and college is really, really a tremendous asset for us. And we're going to keep looking to add thoughtfully where we can make impacts. I think the game is all about the little margins anymore. I'm trying to pick up the little areas the best we can to rise up. If we can make, you know, 10 areas of our group 1% better and you continue to push that thing up the hill, I think pretty soon you start to see some really big gains. And that's what our goal is really to be patient, but incremental gains in every area. If we can grow our scouting area, make our health area better, keep rising up the team services, have the world-class facilities, I think you see results immediately.
Definitely. And one of the things you mentioned was scouting. I know this year you had Hachimura and Admiral Schofield in the second round. So two guys that I feel like kind of set the tone for how you see the organization going in the future. But during the year, I know you're out on the road a lot. You have your scouts on the road a lot. How does it all kind of come together through the draft process of the interviews, seeing people again, but then being able to come to a conclusion on, you know, your select few guys, whether it's the first round in the lottery, such as Hachimura, or kind of later on in the second round?
Well, for us, we kind of established the criteria. If you want to, you know, an analogy, maybe the five fingerprints, you hold up your hand and you look and you say, okay, we're going to have to be very data-driven, value-driven. We want to have great cognitive testing. We want to have great medical assessments before they come to the organization ever. And then and certainly all the intelligence and background that we can gather. So those five areas have to be congruent. And we're not really at a place where we can compromise any of those five, right? So we have to set a standard in the data that says, this player right here, has a resume of winning plays. Let's just make it really easy. But we back it up with a pretty good algorithm that shows this player has to have a certain level of accomplishments as a basketball player before we'll consider him. And then we dive deep into that area of, like I was saying, that when you're value-driven, meaning do you have a displayed character history that says that you're a capable, professional, mature individual. The cognitive testing just simply tells us how you learn, how best to coach you. And then that, when you put the medical assessment over that, really trying to evaluate players as they come into the NBA. And then certainly the background speaks for itself, digging around and getting all the intelligence you can. But I think the medical area is so tricky now. When you consider this year, in this draft, well, was it 27 of the 60 picks were traded? And more than half of the first round guys didn't take a physical at the combine or complete a physical. There's a lot of players that had surgeries before the draft ever happened. That's just telling me we got a lot of wear and tear on young players. And that's a bigger problem maybe that we've got to address, that maybe guys are playing way too much at a young age. And the recovery strategies that are needed for young players more than ever. But for us, really trying to evaluate a player, where they're at today and projecting them forward. That has to be a very, very sophisticated approach, in my opinion, to take a player when they're, you know, 19 years old, but that's what the calendar says, but their body says they're about 25, 26. You can age real quick in the NBA if you're not healthy. That's what we got to be so careful.
Well, speaking of you know, not healthy, John Wall with the injuries and his rehab, how's it been kind of getting to see him progress through the rehab so far throughout the summer and talking to him about the vision that you guys all have for him and the team going forward?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I think John has attacked his rehab like he would attack an NBA calendar and NBA season. He's very competitive. You know, he's really bought into not worrying about when he comes back as much as the time is going to be when he's 100%. He's not circling a date on a calendar and saying that's when I'm coming back. It's going to be when he's 100%. The problem with Achilles injuries is they're tricky. It takes a long time to rehab from them. And, you know, the statistics will show about 70% of all Achilles injuries that result in a soft tissue injury the following year. And that just speaks to how tricky it is to come back completely healthy from that. I think the problem a lot of times that has happened that we found was people coming back a little too early. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're just not going to allow for John to happen. He's going to come back when he's 100%. And we think we have a good testing criteria in place that'll show that. You know, and John has been 100% compliant and bought into this program that he's working with our staff on. And it's really neat to see where he's at and where he's progressing each level as he increases his court time has been fantastic. And, you know, this is the longest he's ever gone without playing in a basketball game in his life, basically.
Right.
He suffered a great deal when you take away something that you loved and you're fantastic at. You know, I think there's almost a grieving process, but he's been able to cinch it up and go forward. And now he's in a unique position, you know, counseling one of his very best friends with DeMarcus Cousins, just having a tough injury again. I think John's been there for him, and he can really come at DeMarcus with what his situation is. Just like DeMarcus did for John when John hurt his Achilles, you know, DeMarcus had hurt his, and they're able to lean on each other in the tough times. And we're really excited where John's at, and we're very confident he'll be able to come back to the court and be a very good player again.
Yeah, definitely. I still remember seeing him for the first time back in maybe 2007 or 8, and just the blinding speed, and you know, then seeing him at Kentucky and through his different transformation of the Wizards. So it'll be interesting to see, and looking forward to seeing him healthy again back in the uniform.
We're very confident for him. A 5-time All-Star. I don't think the game leaves you. You know, his quickness and everything, he's going to have to adapt a little bit as he comes back. But I think he'll be able to adjust. And one thing, you know, when he left last season before the injury, he was still 20-plus and 8-plus in assists. And, you know, he's a league leader, one of the top league leaders in assists as always, and being able to put up the points that he was doing, and he was not healthy at all, kind of speaks to his competitive nature and the toughness that John has. And that's something I think is so important as he manages those injuries, is having to check a little bit of that at the door, because sometimes you can be tough to the point of your own detriment. And we got to do a much better job of watching John's minutes and making sure he as he goes through this process, that we are really in touch with where he's at physically at all times.
Okay. Well, staying on the topic of the top players, Bradley Beal, coming off another great year, and kind of carried a big load this past season. How have the conversations been with him just in terms of getting ready for next year and seeing his development continue?
Oh, he's been fantastic. Bradley's such a cornerstone of our franchise, and he's really been involved in everything that we did in the offseason. He was involved with Mr. Leonsis through the whole GM process and very involved with us during the draft and free agency. He's just somebody that I think you absolutely want to have in your franchise from the moment he's walked in the door to now, watching him evolve as a 2-time All-Star, but as a person, his leadership style, his professionalism, is just one of the most elite guys in the league from those areas, and just a fantastic person. And I think his goals have always been to be the very best player and make the franchise the very best place it can be. It's up to us to show him, hey, you can do that the rest of your career here. And we're really excited where the future is with Bradley and for the Wizards.
Definitely. Well, switching gears quickly, you said you've been with DC for 16 years, but prior to that, you're with the Nuggets and UNLV in kind of a much different capacity. I've heard a little bit about the background, but I'm really curious about how you got in with the Nuggets and kind of the transformation from more, I guess, the business side to more the player side during your early years in the NBA.
Well, it's kind of, I did follow a very non-traditional route. When I was in college, I went to New Mexico State. I actually played football. I'd been in basketball my whole life. Football just kind of allowed me to finish school, and it was a great vehicle. I loved playing the game of football, but basketball is what I played my whole life. And that was always my focus, my passion. When I got out of New Mexico State in 91, I had an opportunity to work at UNLV. And I worked in sports information, actually. I was an assistant SID and then became the sports information director there. My first year working for, we were with Jerry Tarkanian, and then I worked with Rolly Massimino, but also in the whole athletic department. And those were fantastic years for me, the very best people I've ever met in my life. Obviously working for with Coach Tark, but Tim Gergerich, who to this day is one of my very closest people, the best player development coach in NBA history. And then working with Coach Mass and his staff, which included Jay Wright, who's a dear, dear friend to this day and someone I lean on all the time during the college season. And then, we had Brett Gunning was there. We had some really Tom Pokora. Those were great staffs, great opportunities for me to learn from really wise basketball people. And then I went to the Nuggets in 94, and Bernie Bickerstaff was the guy that hired me. And Bernie to this day is a surrogate father. I've never made a decision professionally or pretty much anything in my life without consulting Bernie. He's very close to me and very dear friend. And what he allowed me to do with the Nuggets, I went to the Nuggets as a PR director, but I kind of expanded my role and got a chance to do some scouting a little bit more at a time. And the pivot point really was in 96 at the Olympics. I was working for the USOC and had a chance to talk to Sarunas Marcellonis, who we had traded for. Actually, we traded Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf to the Kings for Sarunas, and met Sarunas at the Olympics. He was playing for Lithuania. Became one of my, he's like a brother to me. To this day, we're business partners and friends on a lot of different basketball projects. And that's the first time I met him. And that allowed me to turn in some scouting reports while I was working for the USOC and USA Basketball at the Olympics on international teams and games. And, there was a different time in 96. There wasn't that many international players in the NBA.
Right.
So that gave me a new opportunity and a new space to create some stuff. And I give Bernie full credit. He really allowed me to do a lot of things. And I just took those opportunities and kept growing them. And then I got a call from Ernie Grunfeld. I guess it was 15 years ago. I'm starting my 16th season now. And Ernie gave me an opportunity in Washington. And really haven't looked back. There was always a lot of crossover with what I was doing in PR. And as I grew it to work in basketball operations with the Nuggets, and then throughout the time I was there working with Kiki Vanderway, a couple other folks there that gave me opportunities to grow, and was able to really use that when I was got the opportunity with the Wizards. It just became full time, 100% basketball operations and scouting, and kind of putting teams together, and that's really where I've always wanted to be. I think the dream of playing in the NBA left me in high school, but always wanted to be in the NBA. Somehow you find your path, and it's been a wonderful path. It's been a very long journey for sure, but when you're doing something you love, I think you really enjoy the journey. You're not going too many times where I said, I really wish I was doing something else. The NBA is where I always wanted to be, and running a franchise was the goal. I'm not even going to say it was a dream. It's just something I felt like that was attainable. Keep your head down, your mouth shut, and just work hard, and I think good things happen. That's what I was able to do, but really in conjunction with so many great people. And the staff we have in DC, we all were able to, from April moving forward, we have a tremendous group of people that all joined, united to this goal of getting the Wizards moving in a different direction, and we've been able to do that. Can't say enough how grateful I am for all the people that we work with the Wizards.
Well, with Hachimura coming on board this year, and you kind of referencing the 96 Olympics and really beginning kind of your international scouting at that point in time, outside of the Olympics, how challenging was it to kind of scout or stay on top of the international game at that point in time compared to today, where you know, the EuroLeague is pretty prevalent even in America, and the knowledge is a lot greater and the information transfer is as well. So how was it, you know, back in the late 90s when you were really focused on the international game?
Well, I think there's a lot more pioneering attitude back then because you didn't have the access that we do now with just even simply having EuroLeague TV and the streamings that's available anywhere on the internet that you can find to watch any level of game in Europe. Those didn't exist. So you had to have a good network. You had to know a lot of people. And through the Olympics, I was able to meet a ton of people with USA Basketball, and you travel the globe and you just kind of assemble a network of people, and then always being a great listener and always trying to be active in gyms and really keep going where the talent is and trying to figure it out. That helped me back then. And now I think it's really, there's so much information to consume. You have to be very, very focused on what exactly it is you're looking for. You know, the international game is just tremendous, you know, and I think with more than a quarter of the NBA now, international players have come and improved the league. And now the efforts that are being made in places like Africa and Asia, the game's going to continue to just absolutely explode around the globe. And I think that's where we need to be. So much more focus is around the globe. And certainly the game's very, very healthy in the United States. But as you look and where some of the players are coming from, you know, there's just really, it's just trying to figure out how can we get the best resources to a continent like Africa where there's been such a disparity. There hasn't been the ability to develop players. A lot of players had to leave and go to Europe to develop. And if we can help through the Basketball African League and other areas that we're trying to do through the NBA, I think you'll see a tremendous growth in the game, and that can only help the quality of the game.
Yeah, I know with the NBA establishing their program in Africa, you should see, especially with the talent that exists out there, definitely a rapid improvement. Going back, when you first got the general manager job, you did a podcast with Woj, and you were kind of talking about scouting Chauncey Billups way back when you first started. And
that's back when both of us had hair.
Well, real quick, what was kind of the scouting report on Chauncey at that point in time?
Well, you just knew, you know, when he was playing at George Washington in Denver, you knew he had the leadership abilities were obvious, and the ability to score the basketball, but really impact the game at both ends. He's just a smart player, and his body type was such that you said, you know, he's going to be a dominant, physically dominating player. And it was very interesting to see how his career path went because, you know, your eyes always remember the talent, the ability. And then, you know, you can't predict the journey that he had to go through his first couple of seasons in the NBA. Once, you know, he took Colorado to the NCAA tournament, which hadn't been done, and sent Indiana home. He was really a tremendous player as a college player. But then he got to the NBA, and, you know, he couldn't predict what was going to happen as he kind of got moved from team to team early. And then the gratification of becoming the NBA Finals MVP, I think he's a future Hall of Famer. His career, you know, it was validated by the success he had on the floor. But I think the things that I saw when he was in high school, they were there all throughout his career. He was just such a tremendous team player, great at both ends. Like I said, he was a very creative player with the ball and being able to kind of carry teams at different times of his career. Speaks to who he was back when he was in high school. And it's kind of neat to see those things that you think you see when a young player is first out there on the court, you know, to be able to see those things later in their career. And it makes you feel good that you might have spotted those early in his career.
I wasn't the only one.
Chauncey was a tremendous talent.
Yep. Is there anything particular that you look for when you're watching players now? Probably not out as much as you used to be, just given all the other responsibilities, but, you know, is there anything specific that you look for? Is it more just kind of the body of the work and getting eyes on guys and seeing how they improve or not improve over their certain periods of time?
I think as you were able to start seeing players at a younger age at the high evaluation camps and different opportunities that FIBA and USA Basketball provide, you start seeing kids at younger ages. And I think what I always look for, the very first thing, is certainly their physicality, where they're at in their growth, and if their ability to really go out and play hard. I know that sounds like a real obvious thing, but playing hard has become a skill instead of a given, unfortunately, in our game. But the sustained effort every game is important. To see how hard they play is very important at a young age, because that's really something that carries forward with them. The ability to, you know, coming out of a timeout, does a player retain information and able to execute it, particularly in crunch time? I think those are things that always translate, and they always kind of follow a player around. So you're looking for basketball IQ is something that always moves it forward with them. You know, when you see a player at a young age, sometimes they weigh about 150 pounds, and you're trying to project what their NBA body's going to look like. Well, in 4 years, it really can change. You know, we talked about John Wall earlier and where he was probably when you saw him, and what you said, 2007 or 8, and where he is today. You know, John's a 215-pound. In the NFL, he'd be a hell of a safety. You know, he's got a great, tremendous body with unbelievable quickness, but in high school, he probably weighed about 180. So you got to project where their body's going to be certainly in a few years. But I don't think the things, the main elements can be overlooked. How hard they play and how smart they are on the floor usually is going to carry forward with them everywhere they go.
Okay, definitely good insight. So one kind of final area I want to bring up to you, just because growing up, watched a lot of the Wizards, and Gilbert Arenas was definitely one of the players I loved to watch. And I know you've seen a lot of changes in the NBA in terms of style of play and how things are looked at. But just going back, you know, really to, I guess it kind of correlates with your early years of the franchise, but, you know, when Gilbert was setting the world on fire and, you know, scoring 60 against the Lakers, et cetera, you know, when you look back at Gilbert's early career, do you think he would have been better suited for now? Or, you know, just kind of curious about some of your thoughts on watching such a transcendent player at that point of time.
Well, you know, I think he certainly could be just as effective in today's game as he was back then. I think you grow in the time that you're in, that's all you ever really have. And I think trying to put players in different generations, it's a fun conversation to have. But I see a lot of Gilbert today when I watch James Harden play, and the range that Harden has and the ability to get shots from anywhere. You know, Gil was doing that certainly back then. Now, those were fun times. We had some good teams during that period. We just couldn't punch it through because of LeBron. And so I always have that empathy for the Sacramento Kings and some of the teams in the 90s and early 2000s. That they were great teams. They just kept running into some of the same players over and over. You know, if you had to win titles back in the day, you always had to run into Detroit, and then you had to run into the Bulls, and then you had to run into the Lakers. You know, over and over. Now the Spurs were, you know, great teams always kind of met their demise at a greater team because they had a greater player. And, you know, for us, it was always running into LeBron with Cleveland. But, you know, Gil and certainly Antoine Caron, those were three all-star players, 20 points a night kind of, you know, players that they were able to score the ball maybe back when scoring was a little bit not as frowned on, but it wasn't as predominant the way it is now. And I think the ability of Gil to shoot from anywhere on the floor, you see that now a lot more. Back then, he was one of the rare players that was just doing it. You know, the green light from half court in was kind of the way he saw the floor. But he was a hell of a player back then. I think he could be a really good player today. I think the NBA is in great hands. You know, watching the young players as they're coming up. I just watched USA Basketball recently in Vegas. You know, that team's not getting quite the accolades that it should. I think that's a tremendous team with Pop coaching and that staff. They're going to have them ready to play, and they're going to show the world, you know, that the ball's going to move and they can shoot the ball and defend. I think it's going to be a fun team to watch in the World Championships.
Yeah, it should be fun as they go to Australia, then to China, just to see especially some of the younger guys, how they perform on the bigger stage. But I know your time is valuable, so just wanted to thank you for coming on and had wanted to have you on for a long period of time, but hopefully things have started to settle in a little bit. But I know you're probably going 1,000 miles an hour, but excited to see the direction that the Wizards go, and have been excited to see all the changes that have already been made and the people that have come into the organization. So thanks a lot for coming on, and best of luck going forward.
I really appreciate that very much, Sean, and I've always admired how hard, everywhere I've ever been in gyms, you're always there too. You know, the ability to go evaluate players, and the way you challenge yourself to keep getting better, and the network you're building, I think you got a great future scouting players and doing whatever you want to do with an NBA team. It's just kind of keep preparing and preparing, and one day all those opportunities will be open to you. So keep at it, and I appreciate the time being on here.
Definitely. So thank you very much, and best of luck coming into this upcoming season. So that wraps up another edition of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in.